This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Bill Raggio, Foundation for the Defense of Democracy Senior Fellow, joins me as my colleague and co-host. We're looking at the day after the meeting of the leadership of Europe, the Arab world, and the Islamic world at Sharm el-Sheikh to congratulate and celebrate the ceasefire in Gaza with the President of the United States at the middle of the conversation at Sharm el-Sheikh. That's a resort in Egypt. And the significance here is that whatever was happening before is now interrupted by terms, not all of which we have. We do have the ceasefire talk. We do have the Gazans can return to Gaza City talk. But I welcome David Dioud of the Foundation for Defense of Democracies, who's been our guide on the several battlefronts for years now. We turn to the Gaza front immediately. There's no transparency here. It's fog of war. We know what we know. For example, the Financial Times is reporting from Jerusalem within these hours. Israeli soldiers killed several Palestinians in northern Gaza a day after U.S. President Donald Trump touted the end of the two-year war. There are also anecdotal reports of Hamas gunmen executing or killing those said to be either collaborators or gang members looking to profit from the returning Gazans. You will all recall you've seen photographs these last days of what appears to be ant walking of thousands of people going up a road that is dusty and deserted looking, the beach on one side, and on the other side a wasteland, heading towards a landscape in the future that looks like Hollywood built it, a broken towers, rubble, and trash in all directions. That is ceasefire. David, a very good evening to you. To measure these stories coming out of Gaza, such as the one I read from the FT, we can expect gunmen to continue their trade for quite some time, because as I understand it, the Hamas were not disarmed according to the negotiation concluded at Sharm el-Sheikh. Is that accurate? No disarming as of yet. Good evening to you, David.
Good evening, John. Well, there's an expectation that they will disarm. I mean, this is part and parcel of the 20-point deal to which the Israelis agreed and upon which the ceasefire was supposed to have been based. But unsurprisingly, Hamas not only has not disarmed, they've made it very clear they have no intention of disarming. There have been several of their leaders that have said in statements to press, it's not that they're hiding, this isn't necessarily a secret thing. They're making it very clear, we are not disarming. In fact, the more this progresses, the more it starts to resemble the alleged plan to disarm Hezbollah in Lebanon. I think the latest statement I saw was that that Hamas wants to reconcile with the Palestinian Authority, enter government based on national dialogue. Again, similar to how Hezbollah is in the government in Lebanon, leaning into reconciliation, leaning into kind of its Lebanese identity. Trying to, put on the patriotic face. And, there was some kind of vague statement that, when the Palestinian Authority is able to kind of to manage things, once that reconciliation happens, many, many milestones down the road, then we will discuss the issue of arms, which is similar to what Hezbollah has said in Lebanon. Get Israel out of Lebanon, stop the operations in Lebanon, and then we'll discuss the issue of arms. Oh, by the way, on the side, all we're saying consistently is we will not disarm. And similarly, Hamas has spent the past few days saying that disarmament is a pipe dream.
Bill, you have a question for David.
Yeah, David, I think I know the answer to this one. But in your opinion, is this an end to the war, or merely a ceasefire, an interlude? I mean, it's being promoted as a peace deal. What is your take on it?
An end to this particular war that started on October 7th of 2023, I would say yes. I do not see Prime Minister Netanyahu for him to restart the conflict would be to, President Trump put his personal credibility on the line. He visited Israel, Steve Witkoff, Jared Kushner, Ivanka Trump, but there was kind of an appearance of Trump's own reputation being invested in this war being done. And I don't think Prime Minister Netanyahu would dare, if I may, insult him in such a way as to restart the conflict that Trump has put his name on. He's putting his reputation on the line for this being over. At the same time, in the broader sense, is the broader war between Israel and the Palestinians. Is the broader war between Israel and Hamas over? Absolutely not. I think one would be naive to think that that the Palestinians have any intention of making peace with Israel, peace with its existence in the region, peace with its presence as a Jewish state. I think this war will continue. There will be future rounds of fighting. I have no doubt about that, unless something momentous and miraculous happens in the coming days and weeks. The Palestinian attempt to delegitimize Israel, to weaken it, to isolate it, will continue. We will continue to see that here in the United States. I'm sure you see Kamala Harris doing her book tour talking about how we need to take a step back and consider whether Israel has committed genocide. Now, this is a person who has no opinions and no morals themselves, if you ask me, but she's trying to pander to a base. She's licking her finger and putting it up to the wind and see which way the winds are blowing. So that part of the Palestinian effort and the pro-Palestinian effort will continue. And certainly Hamas, which is saying it will not disarm, I cannot see them abandoning their ideology to destroy the state of Israel in time through a million paper cuts. This is for them is a lull in the fighting. The overall long war, Bill, if I may use a term, if I may borrow a term from you. But I do not see this, I do not see Hamas coming to the table, signing terms of surrender and shaking, its leadership, shaking Prime Minister Netanyahu's hand and saying this conflict is done once and for all.
20 years in jail for a number of murders, homicides. We're looking at a long list of men who've been released in the terms of the ceasefire agreement. They are all now senior figures in Hamas, Islamic Jihad, Fatah. Do you expect them to return to their position of authority? In other words, having damaged severely the leadership in Hamas, are we now going to get a new level of leadership right back into the game?
I actually wouldn't see it otherwise. Like you noted, John, Hamas has a dearth of leadership right now. They're having a lack of leadership, and now you're giving them, what they're perhaps needing the most, people who can fill those gaps that have been created by this war. And again, I strongly suspect Hamas will not abandon the broader conflict, its broader conflict against Israel, then they're going to need the leadership to help them rebuild, regenerate, rearm, and figure out how to continue this fight against Israel, the kinetic fight down the road. Decades down the road, perhaps, or continuing it from the West Bank in the current, in the immediate term. But also the broader fight, which is just as important, if not as important, of delegitimizing Israel, of isolating Israel. What you want is when you go to war with Israel in the future, to make sure that it has its hands tied behind its back, its ability, its access to weapons resupply, the legitimacy from the international community are not starting at a high point. They're starting at a relatively depleted point. And that way you can inflict more damage on the Israelis and they have less time and less ability to hit back. I could see, those leaders coming and sitting down and planning how to continue that, that ideological war in the interim until they feel ready to reinitiate a kinetic conflict down the road.
Bill, you have a question for David.
David, as soon as the ceasefire was announced, the Hamas returned to the streets and began to conduct reprisals. Can you explain what is happening in Gaza? Why is Hamas targeting people on the streets?
Well, first, part of it is that, you know, power abhors vacuum, nature abhors vacuum. Someone has to fill the gaps. And Hamas is still the most, among the Gazan actors, it's still the most powerful. Right now, look, Hamas has to do several things. They have to claim victory in some way. They have to show an image of victory to be able to set the stage for regeneration and future recruitment, so on and so forth. They have been severely weakened. And right now there's going to be different factions vying for power in Gaza. And I think what Hamas is trying to do is stake the claim for top dog. They're trying to say, hey, we haven't gone anywhere. They're trying to cow their opponents into backing down and try to avoid a prolonged clash for who gets to remain on top in Gaza. Now, of course, there's supposed to be international actors, right? This ISF that's supposed to come in and control the situation and hit, you know, take territory from the IDF as the IDF withdraws according to the timetables. But let's be realistic, on the ground is what matters, really on the ground is what matters. And there, I think Hamas is doing this to, you know, again, stake a claim to, you know, future control of Gaza in some way and to prevent, you know, to intimidate any potential opponents, any potential claimants to, you know, top power in Gaza from trying to take its spot. Also, I mean, look, this is just plain old revenge. A lot of the clans that they're taking it out on, you know, they're saying they collaborated with the Israelis. A lot of these clans, look, maybe some of them worked with the Israelis. Maybe some of them took advantage of the situation to try to fly some power away from Hamas. And now this is Hamas's time, kind of in this twilight period, where, as you know, I think John noted before we got on the call that ceasefires are not neat. So take advantage of that to, you know, hit back against potential challengers to your rule, and people who, you know, now you owe them blood, right? Now you have time for revenge. So there's probably an element of revenge as well.
We're speaking with David Daoud of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. He is the man to watch. All his reporting in Long War Journal for conduct in Gaza, and also in the north, in Lebanon. We're going to turn to something that was critical at Sharm el-Sheikh. That is, Iran did not attend. It was invited, I believe, and it did not attend. So after all this ceasefire talk, does the conflict between Jerusalem and Tehran continue, and what to expect? Bill Raggio, the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, a senior fellow.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.